Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz every Wednesday at 4 o'clock. We are joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the best football show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Hello, Baldy. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys. Good to be with you. How are y'all doing?
Well, we are on the verge of losing our baseball season and the football. And the football team lost their.
You just got to go to L.A. tomorrow and win two. You know, don't let Teoscar Hernandez belt one out of the park. You know, in the seventh inning or something, man. Like, just answer the bell. Like, just start get to wake the bats up, man. They'll be all right.
That's all. All they got to do is win two baseball games. They won 96 of them this year. Just win two more.
Just win two out there.
Yeah. So Baldy, the short week for the Eagles, you know, lose that game on Sunday and then play tomorrow against the Giants. So we're 5 weeks in, and for all of the be patient, I think 5 weeks in is enough to look at the offense and say, this does not feel right. So what do you think, if you were to pinpoint, I guess, the hierarchy of reasons that they're not able to move the ball consistently, what is at the top and then what's after that?
It'd be good if, I guess it starts with the run game. It always starts with the run game. You want to take the best running back in all of football last year and have the best season he's ever had, and now he's on pace for the worst season he's ever had. Like, that's got to change up front. And, you know, they had one good run the other day, and they never went back to it. They only had six runs. They didn't, hand it off to them in the fourth quarter when they had the lead. But, I think the running game, it starts there. Like, that's got to get fixed, because that's 5 weeks now where he just has been, he can't get out of the gate right now. So that's a problem. And, the center hasn't played well. The tight ends can't block outside of, Goddard. So, like, they got to fix some things there. And then I would say the passing game, it's got to find some kind of rhythm, the passing game is horrible. And so just the design of it is bad, but I'm not sure what the quarterback is doing at this point, especially last week. You just can't drop back and hold the ball and just wait for something to happen. I played with Randall Cunningham, and I loved Randall. Randall was an awesome athlete, but Randall only threw it if the receiver was open and he was looking at him. But that's not the way the game is played. You got to throw the ball with anticipation. You got to throw it. You got to throw receivers open. Guys are going to be covered in this league. You're not going to get 3 yards of separation against Patrick Surtain. But, the ball's got to be thrown on time. And there's very little rhythm and timing to the offense right now, especially in the passing game.
So the first thing you mentioned was the run game. Is that simply an offensive line is just not performing at the level they were last year?
Well, a little bit spiked. But, I mean, like last week, Denver just said, they challenged the Eagles. I mean, they lined up basically in a nine-man box. There was, Hufanga was sitting in there, and, they had unblocked guys. And they were saying, you got to throw it in order to get us out of this look. And so that's what the Eagles did. And, but you got to run them out of it, too. You got to find some runs that can work. But it's been week to week where they just haven't, even in looks where the safeties are 15 yards deep, they're still not running it well. So it starts up front. You can say the tight ends and this and missing a block here and they're close, all that stuff they'll say. But, they got to get better movement at the point of attack right now than what they're getting.
Baldy, it appears a lot of this is due to, not being physically themselves. How much do you think that is playing in this? Lane played his first full game, I believe, since week one or week two. You mentioned Cam. He had back surgery this offseason. Dickerson, he's been a warrior out there trying to fight through it. Look like he's going to finally try to rest and heal up. How much of this is due to physical or the lack of physical ability they have right now as a unit?
Well, I mean, I think there's credibility to that point. Like, there's no question that Landon Dickerson isn't the Pro Bowl guard that he was a year ago for much of the season. He hasn't played like that, and he is ailing. The center had troubles with DJ Jones last week, but he's had some problems this year. Mm-hmm. And Lane was fine. Lane, I mean, I know he's had the stinger and all that, but I mean, he's fine. He's playing good football. You can't block longer than those guys are blocking in some of the passing plays that I saw last week. Mm-hmm. But honestly, the Cowboys blew out the Jets on Sunday. They played four backup offensive linemen, and they looked awesome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we love Stout. Stout, has been doing this a long time here. Since he came in with Lane together, with Chip, and he's been doing it a long time, and he's great at what he does. But that really, the excuses of okay, here comes the backup guard, and here comes this, that doesn't really fly. You the next guy up has to be able to handle guys up front right now, or find runs that they could be better at than what they're doing right now.
Yeah.
So, Baldy, you mentioned the issues with the passing. It's all tied together. It's hard to separate all of it. The and I think you'll be able to explain this to me and to the listeners. What we've seen the last 2 weeks from a defense in the second half, because Tampa did sort of a similar thing as Denver, is they don't blitz anymore, and they're playing a lot of zone. And sometimes what they'll do is they'll bring in an extra guy, but then they'll drop one of their linemen. And what is the solution to that? Because it can't just be that is a defense that we can't beat. We can't just not be able to beat a zone defense where they're not bringing extra guys. How do they fix that? What do they do? What is the solution to that?
You're saying against a defense that's not blitzing?
Well, against like a defense that is just sort of dropping back and playing zone and maybe not blitzing, but maybe bringing a safety and then dropping a lineman into coverage or dropping a simulated blitz. What is the solution to that?
Simulated blitz,
for the Eagles offense to beat that?
Yes.
I mean, ultimately, your receivers have to win one-on-ones.
Okay.
You've got to be able to – I mean, it's not a secret,
Yep.
I mean, you saw Cortland Sutton, what he did to Quinyon Mitchell, especially in the fourth quarter. He beat him every time.
Yep.
And so even if the guy is draped on you, if you're a number one wide receiver, you're used to that. You're just out-muscle guy. You do what A.J. is capable of doing. You do what Jamar Chase does every week. Like, you just win that battle. A.J. did it against the Rams in the fourth quarter. But, ultimately, your receivers have to win, and your quarterback has to trust that he's going to win. Now, the quarterback is the only quarterback in the league that hasn't thrown an interception, and it looks like he lives in fear of throwing an interception. And I just don't think you can play with fear, especially if you have as talented receivers as the Eagles have. I think you got to put it out there and throw it and let them go get it and make a play on it. But I don't think you can hold it and say, okay, I'm not going to turn it over, because that just leads to, a poor field position and the defense gets extra at-bats. But I just think that's a part of it right now. You just can't play to not make mistakes. And I think that's a little bit of what Jalen's doing.
So we have the Giants tomorrow night. That is not a good football team. But
nope.
if is there anything that they do well that the Eagles could be susceptible to that will make this game more difficult than it should be?
Well, I mean, they do have excellent pass rushers. I mean, Brian Burns is having a great season. And, Denver has good pass rushers, but, Brian Burns, Kayvon, this rookie Abdul Carter, Dexter Lawrence, I mean, it's a good front. Against the Chargers 2 weeks ago, they hit Justin Herbert 13 times in that game, and they won that game. And they physically beat him up pretty good. So, I mean, they can do that. They weren't particularly good at it against New Orleans on Sunday, and they did turn it over three times, which cost them the game. So, they've got a very limited passing attack. There's no Malik Nabers. The quarterback is a rookie, and he looks like a rookie sometimes. But he's a good athlete. He plays the game fearlessly. But, they lost three fumbles, and they lost to the Saints because of it last week. But, they do have a rookie running back that's very powerful in Scataboo, breaks a lot of tackles. They got a decent offensive line. But ultimately, if they can get a lead at some point and turn their front loose, they could possibly make a game out of it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Eagles, Baldy, from an offensive standpoint. I don't know what game plan they go into this game with tomorrow. Are they going to come out trying to throw the ball again, or do they try to establish the run in this game as far as what can they take advantage of this Giants defense at?
Well, they haven't been particularly good against the run this year. I mean, you look at what the Saints did last week. They're 27, 28, 29th and, stopping the run right now. Dexter Lawrence hasn't been the monster that he has been in the past. They're a little thin at defensive tackle. Like, they haven't been particularly good against the run. They lost two inside linebackers since the start of the season, so I'm not sure who's in there right now. Okereke is still there, but, guy playing next to him, Muasau, or, pick a guy, they're all been, banged up. So, they're not particularly good in the run fits and what they're doing up front, but, I mean, that's something I would try to I'm sure Saquon wants to go up there into that stadium and, remind them of what they did, when they didn't give him a contract 2 years ago. So I'm sure he'd love to, pay them a nice visit tomorrow night.
All right, Baldy. Well, we will talk to you next week. We thank you as always.
Appreciate it, brother.
My pleasure, guys. You got it.
There is Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Here is the sole concern with the Giants, and he mentioned it, again, not a good football team. There's no reason why the team should score more than 13 points against the Eagles tomorrow. The concern is, so Abdul Carter leads the league in hurries.
He does.
Really?
He does.
I thought he's having like a down.
Yeah, I ain't really seen him do anything.
Is he getting sacks? But
he's not getting sacks.
So no sacks, but a lot of hurries.
Yeah, and Brian Burns is playing well. Sexy Dexy in the middle, is that they, if our bugaboo, if our problem is getting rid of the ball quickly, that team forces you to get rid of the ball quickly.
Yeah.
And that is why, man, if there is one game that we have to get the run game going, it is tomorrow. Because they can get pressure without blitzing anyone. They don't have to blitz anyone to get pressure. The Giants do. That's the only thing, is that this ends up being, I could foresee this being some sort of awful, ugly 16-10 Eagles win because we're just not able to get the pass game going at all. I can't imagine, unless we turn it over, this is one of those games.
Yeah.
Unless we turn it over, I cannot foresee a way the Giants win this football game because I don't think they're going to score enough points.
Right.
But man, we need to run the ball well tomorrow. We absolutely need to run the ball well tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if they are this poor against the run, this should be a game that we lean on the run game and try to get Saquon going. You know he's going to have the extra juice on a Thursday night, nationally televised game, going back up there. He got his documentary coming out tomorrow.
Yep.
So it's going to be a lot surrounding him going back to New York. Man. I don't know why they got so far away from the run game last week, this past Sunday. I don't know what it was. Something tells me they had enough receivers in their ear about wanting to throw the ball. You can't allow that to affect the game plan.
Especially not tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
tomorrow.
What I'm saying. Like, yeah, you got to get back to doing – you got to at least have a balanced attack.
Yep.
Yeah, at least have a balanced attack. I mean, that thing was so lopsided Sunday. Yeah.
We can't lose to the Giants.
They're not going to lose the Giants. It's going to be tight, but they're not going to lose.
I don't think they're going to lose to the Giants. The report came, or not report, it's in the documentary, I guess, that Saquon went to the Giants in 23 when they weren't able to come up with a contract and asked for a trade. Mm-hmm. And John Mara said that did not allow them to go and look for a trade.
During the season?
It was prior to the season when they were. So, I know. I can understand the Giants saying no. You're under contract here, but I think there's probably more to that Giants thing than that is another thing that we didn't know about. That, that Giants thing we didn't know about.
You would think if they were never intending on re-signing him, they could have did him a solid by just trading him.
Yeah. Well, but then we know John Mara didn't want to get rid of him anyway,
I know, but I'm saying then But then you should have re-signed him.
Yes, yeah.
That way you could at least got something in return for him.
Yeah.
Also, the Daniel Jones turning into this is a way worse look for the franchise than the Saquon.
Way worse look than the Saquon move.
Especially for a guy who is supposed to be the reason why, one of the reasons why Josh Allen developed in Brian Daboll.
Totally.
Right?
They should get over the Saquon thing. Like, he's a great player in a bad situation. Daniel Jones is turning into an MVP-ish type candidate for just a new different offensive coordinator.
I do believe that hurts more than the Saquon. They've already reconciled with the Saquon thing. Like, the Daniel Jones playing well in Indy?
Yeah.
I would imagine Giants fans aren't handling that well. I mean, they like Jackson Dart, though.
They do. They do.
For now.
For now. Yeah. They like him because he's not Russell Wilson.
Well, right.
Yeah.
I also think Giants fans look at Daniel Jones and they still don't buy it. I think they always bought it.
I don't even buy it.
Well, of course not. No one does. But, like, at least they knew Saquon was great.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes.
They knew Saquon was great, and they felt like he's misused there, so they're probably still more mad about Saquon. I just think the Danny Dimes thing is a way more bigger indictment on Daboll and the coaching staff.
Well, and you can talk yourself into that there is some legitimacy to the fact that they weren't going to be a good football team, paying a bunch of money to a running back when you're not a good football team. I get it, that part. But if they let a franchise quarterback go, who not only they drafted, but they did pay, and then after paying him, decided they didn't want him, mm-hmm. and Daniel Jones keeps doing this, then that is a, forget about how Giants fans feel, for the organization, that is a much bigger mistake than the Saquon thing. Because Saquon, a running back is not going to make your team good. A franchise quarterback can change the entire complexion of the future of the franchise if Daniel Jones ends up being that.
Well, a running back makes your team good if you have other good parts.
Yes, but it starts with the quarterback.
Yeah, but
on offense.
From what I'm hearing about our quarterback, we got an average quarterback, and anybody can play with this team.
In other words, that's a rarity.
It's a lot of that going on in the NFL nowadays.
I think if you were to ask franchises if you could have one position locked down,
sure.
It would be quarterback.
Well, yeah, obviously. I'm just saying, but a lot of that is wishful thinking, and you almost fool yourself into these quarterbacks being something that they really aren't. When if there's an obvious talent there, like a King Henry or Saquon Barkley, I think if you build around the team correctly, you don't necessarily need a top five quarterback to go win if you add the other parts as well.
Well, and if you have the right coach and the right coordinator and those things, which it looks like Daniel Jones finally has.
Yeah, I'm not saying running back, you just roll a running back out there and you win, but that's their fault. They took him early and didn't put talent around him.
Yeah, well, Baldy mentioned they have a decent offensive line now. Not at any point in Saquon's or Daniel Jones's.
Andrews, Pete, and who was the other guy?
Well, and they just drafted Evan Neal with the sixth pick of the draft.
Yeah,
he doesn't even play. He's terrible. Yeah. He stinks. Yeah. Coming up next, this has been, would you say this has been the busiest Eagles Insider of the Year week since we gave out the award in March?
Well, I think this whole beginning of the season has been, a lot of these local guys are finally vying for it. Well, Last year, they kind of pushed it off as a little joke, and then they saw Elliott win it, and they said, absolutely not.
Yes.
We have some pride around here.
And they're coming to play.
In a big way?
Yeah, they are coming to play. They're coming to play. And Elliott has his work cut out for him. He is finding out why it's so hard to repeat as champion.
Who has had a tougher start this season? Eagles offense?
Or Elliott?
Or Elliott.
Elliott's been okay.
Elliott's been fine.
It's just with the other ones competing.
He's got a lot of competition on his heels.
It puts it in perspective.
No longer a weak conference that he's in.
Nope. All right, so the new Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings are coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. So glad to be with you today. The Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings coming up soon, next 5 minutes. Twitter question brought to you by Marks Jewelers. Marks wants to wish our team good luck this October. Experience the difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. Oh, Jack, this question's a layup, this new one. New Twitter question. Who needs to have the biggest game tonight if the Phillies are going to win? Option one. Harper and Schwarber. Option two, Rob Thompson. Option three, Nola and Ranger.
Oh, Nola and Ranger.
Oh, no.
You don't think?
Well, I mean, the...
You think the hitters? Oh, did they go with Harper and Schwarber?
75%.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it is those two. I agree.
Yeah.
I just do think it's another big Thompson moment tonight. He's starting Nola instead of Ranger, which people aren't too thrilled with. Does he get Nola out of there early? Does he leave him in a little too long? Here's my vision for tonight. Nola shoving two times through the lineup, and you know Thompson's like, should I stick with him? Should I stick with him?
One more time!
And then he sticks him one more time. Ohtani goes 700 feet, and it blows up in their face.
I think if Nola gets through the lineup twice, well, I think he's going to pull him. That is, I don't care what he's doing. I think Ranger comes in. Even if Nola is pitching great, I think Ranger comes in after Nola gets through the lineup twice. If he can get through the lineup twice, I think that's what happens. I think he is, unless Ranger is hurt, but I you can't say you're going to piggyback the guy and right. then never put him in. Unless Nola is in there to the eighth inning, you can't never put him in. So I think he gets through the lineup twice, and even if he looks great, Topper takes the ball from him. And then if Ranger blows up,
what if he's only giving up one hit?
I still think he pulls him.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, why would you?
I think there's a chance. I think chance Ranger doesn't pitch. Like I think you would just ride Nola.
What would you do?
Well, he wouldn't even start Nola.
But you did. Let's say you started Nola. Yeah. And
Let's say it's this. He's heading into the sixth, heading into third time through. He's allowed two hits.
Two hits, one of them a solo home run to Ohtani.
Okay. So I would let him start the inning, but I would have a real reliever.
Yeah.
And then maybe go to Ranger or something. Like there's a chance that Nola just kind of takes the ball and runs with it.
And you... So again,
I know.
You would give him the ball into the third time through the lineup.
With my eyes closed. Like, I would be terrified.
Fingers crossed.
But why wouldn't you just give it to Ranger?
If he's on a roll, let him roll.
Okay. Yeah.
And then, have guys in the bullpen ready to go.
What I'm doing is I'm making you plant your flag on I would put him back out there.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. That's fine.
Because I know you love blaming Topper for the loss.
I like it. Oh, man, my fingers are going to be tweeting tonight.
Oh, yeah? A lot of gifts tonight. 215-592-9494.
I've learned not to tweet until after Nola's out of the game.
Don't count your chickens before they're hatched.
Yeah. And, by the way, I usually am fine with Rob Thompson bullpen decisions. The one that I've always hated is reliever gets a big out and then comes back after the next inning. That's my biggest fear with them.
Pat in Denver, you're on WIP.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Pat.
What's up, Pat?
Good. Mike, do you have a dog or cat charity that I can donate to?
Yeah, check Twitter.
Okay, yeah. I'll be on your Twitter. We need more Broads. we need more Broads.
And oh, you're trying to pay for more Broads?
Yeah. I'm paying for Broads because I want more of the slot and the back door and touching his stick.
I always rub my stick.
Dude, he's on for 10 minutes. It's supposed to be 50 seconds. How much more Broads could you take?
The day was a long one.
I want Broads for an hour, man. Come on.
Well, I'm a big Broads guy.
How much is it worth to you? I mean, we're trying to raise 20 grand for Providence Animal Center. We're at 17.5. You donate $2,500, I'll give you Broads for an hour.
I don't think I can do that.
Okay, all right. All right.
I want to ask you about Ubre's. You were talking about bike accidents.
You want to ask about Ubre's. Kelly Ubre?
That's topical.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Sixers. Yeah.
No, we're not talking about the Sixers.
Let's go Phillies.
All right.
Kelly. Forget about game five.
Okay.
Forget about game four. We got to go win tonight. And even if, if Nola goes out there and gives up a home run to Ohtani and, there's three on, two on, they got to go to Ranger, right? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I don't think if Nola looks bad, there's no way he's going to hesitate going to Ranger.
No,
I agree.
Yeah.
Even in the first inning, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think if it's one of those things where it's the first inning, there's nobody out, and there's two runs in, I think Nola's gone. He's not going to wait for – it's not a regular season game.
Four or five runs.
Yeah, where you let him give up five, and then you let him settle in.
Yeah.
We just don't have time for it. So,
How does Topper say he trusts them, though? Like, he trusts Aaron Nola. Like, there's no reason to trust him at this point.
Well,
sure it is.
Yeah, come on.
Sure it is. He has postseason experience. He's a gamer.
He's the second all-time in strikeouts.
Yeah, come on.
I want him to go out there and throw six no-hit innings and set up the bullpen and go out and win in L.A. I'm ready to run through the wall and go to L.A. from Denver. But I just can't because I don't know what the hell is happening with starting Aaron Nola in game three.
I really do think whether it works or not, I think the logic is sound. I think the logic
and
being...
And I think he's pitched better recently than Ranger. At the end of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, and...
Yeah, speak up for our guy, Jack.
Well, listen, and I'm not even the biggest Nola guy. I just think there is logic to starting Aaron Nola tonight.
I think so, too. I think, and if Ranger is a little banged up, and on top of all of this, I think the best argument for this is that you trust Ranger coming out of the pen more than you trust Nola coming out of the pen because Ranger has done it. So, I don't know. I think... I am not. If there's one thing I will kill Rob Thomson for, it is not starting Nola tonight. I think it is the guy is like it or not in the history of the Phillies franchise. He is one of the better pitchers, one of the more
top
successful
five pitchers. Yeah, top five.
I mean, he is. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, so
I agree with you.
So, and as far as trust goes, trust is about more than this season. I think he has seen Aaron Nola now for 4 years, and let's think about it this way: is last year Ranger was scuffling a lot going into the playoffs. Topper trusted him in that game. He worked his way through it.
And
he got a big start out of a guy that this is what Thomson is paid to do. I know if Aaron Nola gets blasted tonight and the Phillies lose, that Thomson is going to get crushed for starting Nola.
Yeah.
I will not be one of those people. I understand the reasoning on this, and I think it's fine.
There's a lot of jobs on the line tonight, and I want these guys to go out there and win two in L.A., and come back to Philly, and I'll be there with you guys. I'll run through a wall.
Okay.
To game five.
See these guys win this series, man. And let's make history.
Let's do it. Well,
let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it won't be that much history. A lot of teams have done it.
Do you guys agree that this isn't a Rob Thomson solo decision to start Aaron Nola in game three? Like, he doesn't do this on his own without Dave Dombrowski being okay with this.
Yeah, I think they all talk about it. I think if Rob Thomson was passionate about it, I think they would let him do it.
Passionate?
Yeah. Well, whatever that looks like.
You think he's getting up on the table?
Yeah, I'm like,
banging the table for Knowles?
My gut would be, Thompson's the one that watches him all the time. My gut would be, they say to him, what are you thinking? And he's saying, Nola, here's why. And I think they probably just let him go with it. I don't think there's an obvious, it's not like Ranger Suarez is a Cy Young candidate, and it's not like, you know. So I'm
glad you said that. Yeah. So I say that to say, because it seems to be so obvious to everyone else that it should be Rangers. That's why I'm like, well, if they're doing this, that means everybody is on board with this.
I think there's
That's all I was trying to figure out.
And this is part of the Nola conversation. I think there is a general trust of and like of Ranger. I don't think
he does have the lowest postseason ERA in the history of the Phillies.
Yeah,
which helps.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But we all saw his last five starts. You know, he got batted around a little bit. He pitched well for a time here. He's obviously physically diminished compared to what he was 2 or 3 years ago. He's throwing 91 mile an hour fastballs. So you know. I think the rest of the organization's okay with it.
Okay with it,
But it's, again, if Ranger was cooking at the end of the year, he would start Ranger. Ranger wasn't cooking at the end of the year.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but everybody seems to act as if that was the case at the end of the year.
Yeah. I think the other thing is...
Or is it just they don't trust Nola?
Well, I think
that's part of it.
Yeah,
too.
Okay.
I think what also happened here is, and I don't think they're expecting, obviously, to go to LA 1-1. Like, this is a very...
0-2.
Sorry, 0-2. I think they're expecting to be 1-1. And this is a very, like, you're 1-1, you're going out to LA. Can these guys get you through 7? We might not win this one anyway. And then save everyone for an all-out effort in game 4 to get it back for a game 5.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. And this is also where you feel the loss of Wheeler, because Lizardo should be starting this game.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, absolutely. You don't feel it in games 1 and 2 because those guys pitch great. It's when you feel it in game 3 because you don't have the guy that was pitching in game 2. Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings.
Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings.
Oh, boy. I mean, this is hotly contested. We may need a ballroom and a crowd for the award giving away this year.
I think we should have a scene like an Anchorman. When all the media parts come together and have a fight.
Oh, you think they should fight for it?
Yeah. I think that'd be a good theater for the people out there.
I want to see these.
I'm watching Anchorman this weekend, man.
Dude, so Spike, you gave me a look. You never seen Anchorman?
I watched half of it once. It's not my kind of comedy.
Too fake?
It's just not my kind of comedy. I don't think it's funny. Yeah.
Well, what is your kind of comedy? Like, what's your favorite comedy of all time? Yeah, that's a good question. Well, you don't seem like a comedies man.
Well, I love Superbad.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's an interesting choice.
It's not my favorite of all time. I love Old School.
That's a classic.
Yeah.
That's a classic.
I love Old School.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you mean, eh?
Again, I'm not the biggest Old School guy. It's not even in my Mount Rushmore Will Ferrell movies from the 2000s.
I love Happy Gilmore. I really love...
Happy Gilmore's stupid.
Yes, but...
Anchorman's really stupid.
There's something about...
With better characters in it.
Yeah, I just don't... I don't like it. I don't know what to tell you. It's not funny. I didn't laugh one time.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
What was the last time you gave it a shot?
Oh, years ago.
All right.
You want me to? Oh, I love Step Brothers. I love Step Brothers.
Step Brothers is a good one, yeah.
Very dumb as well.
Yeah, but.
Talladega Nights?
Didn't know. See, that's another one.
Another classic.
I got a half an hour into, and I said, this movie's not funny.
Oh, man, I got it.
Do you like Billy Madison?
Yes.
Okay.
I like Billy Madison better than Happy Gilmore.
Anchorman and Talladega Nights is on the agenda. I don't have any football. I don't have the Eagles this weekend, so yeah. Unless the Phillies are playing Saturday.
Yeah, Billy Madison I like better than Happy Gilmore, and I like Big Daddy better than both of them.
Big Daddy was horrible.
I love Big Daddy. No, Big Daddy's a funny movie, and it's got a heart to it, too. It's got a little heart to it. All right. Eagles Inside of the Year Power Rankings, hotly contested. At number 5, 6 ABC's Jason Dumas.
Oh, he's still hanging around there, huh?
Well,
yeah. We're monitoring the Dumas situation.
Yeah, I got my eye on you, Dumas, because... When Jalen Hurts turned around after his press availability yesterday, I looked in his back pocket and I saw Jason peeking out. He's in Jalen's back pocket. Oh. Now, look, it might end up working out for him. There might be the scoop of the year. It might go to Dumas because he saddled up close to Jalen. Yeah. I see what you're doing, Dumas. This is the thing about this segment on the show. No punches are pulled. I see what you're doing. I hope it works out for you. That's all I'm saying. Number 4. WIP's own Ashlyn Sullivan.
Nice. Oh.
Now, this was...
How did she slide in there?
Well, this was an underrated scoop in that she had the story that Jordan Mailata and other team leaders went to Nick Sirianni and asked to cancel Victory Monday because they did not believe they were playing well enough. Now, they promptly went and lost the game, so there is no Victory Monday. But I thought that was a pretty big scoop.
Oh, this was after the Rams game? I mean,
it was before the Denver game.
Before the Denver game.
Before the Denver game. Yeah, a big scoop.
It is a big scoop.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Look at Jordan.
Well, it's similar, I think, not the same thing, but similar to the bye week story of last year of the offensive line going to Coach Nick Sirianni. It's a big story, you know?
Yeah, I don't.
What?
As a player, I'd be like, hold on, bro.
Yeah, you're taking away my Victory Monday?
Yeah. You come in on Victory Monday. Yeah. Yes. I like having Victory Monday off.
Yeah, you can come in. You can practice.
All right.
Number 3, our own defending champion, Elliott Shore Parks.
All right, he hanging in there. Oh, he's number 3?
Number 3. He had a good week. He asked A.J. Brown tough questions about the slowing up on the route.
And Elliott's in the thick of this, yeah.
Yep. He was the first to ask Jalen questions about the meeting yesterday. He got himself banned from the Nick Sirianni press conference.
That might be the most impressive thing he did.
Insane. He works for the flagship. He didn't even get a question.
One question.
That is my insider right there. Yeah. I might be cheering for Elliott now.
Yeah.
At number 2, Jeff McClain. Jeff, with a big scoop this week that Landon Dickerson's ankle injury could have him miss a couple of games. Okay. No one else had that.
Okay.
And Landon Dickerson will miss this game. He is out for Thursday, so that is a big scoop.
Okay.
And at number 1, this is his second big scoop of the year, is Jimmy Kempski.
Kempski!
Getting the A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts meeting. Oh. Now, look, some of the details might be a lie. That they met for several hours. There's no way that happened. But the meeting did happen. Saquon confirmed it happened. Jalen confirmed it happened. It's a huge scoop. Jimmy Kempski's other big scoop was he did get the details of the Bryce Huff trade, is that if Bryce Huff gets 8 sacks or more, it is a better draft pick. No one had those details.
Okay.
Kempski's in this race now.
Look at Kempski.
Yeah.
Big stuff.
Yeah.
Big stuff.
Not just stick figures anymore.
No. And he's so much taller than Elliott.
Yeah.
18 inches at least taller. Yeah. Wow. What?
I didn't say anything.
I just said taller.
Right.
Yes.
Not anywhere else.
No, are you kidding me? There's no chance.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
All right.
You say we done?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I'm uncomfortable.
All right. 215-592-9494. Gary in Vineland. You're on WIP. What's up, Gary?
What's going on? Hey, we have a dirty ice today.
Yeah.
Well, yep. That's not
nine,
me.
I want to see nine wieners get in you.
Yeah, you did say that.
Yeah.
I let that one go for you, Ike.
Yeah.
That was a throwaway. It was a throwaway.
I wanted to keep that one.
Yeah, he was giving it. It was a gift.
I was giving it to you.
Yeah.
I want to hear Justin's a dog with nine wieners and six cats in a barn with a llama.
Yep.
There's got to be something.
It doesn't know what to do with any of them.
Yeah, don't know what to do with any of them.
Yeah.
Hey, you think... If Wheels didn't get hurt, and if we had a rookie pitcher that could have made the club like the Dodgers did, we'd be in a better spot.
Well, yeah, just going with Wheels not getting hurt, we'd be in a better spot. Yeah.
Do you think if we had Zach Wheeler, would we be in a better spot? I think so, probably.
Yeah, I think so.
You
know, like they got their pitcher didn't play at the beginning of the season and came back in August for spring training, and then now he's pitching.
You talk about game. Sasaki?
No, I'm talking about the guy that pitched the last game on Monday for them.
For the Dodgers?
Blake Snell?
Yeah, he didn't.
He's not a rookie. He's not a rookie.
No, I'm not saying he's a rookie. I'm saying...
Oh, I thought you said rookie. I'm sorry.
If we had done that, and then if our rookie could have made the club...
Oh, Painter. You're talking about Painter.
Yeah. There we go. Now we're landing the plane, guys.
Man, I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, if Painter...
I'm upset, man. The boats are burnt. We're losing, Phil.
Yeah.
The boats are burnt. We're stuck out here in the ocean.
Yeah, we're going to be... By the way, if they lose, we're stuck on this island forever. Yes, exactly. We got rid of the boats. Yeah, the Painter thing is disappointing. I'm not going to – it is what it is. He didn't have a good year, you know. He's healthy. That's good news. But I just know next year – I've seen a lot of rookie pitchers in Major League Baseball this year looking excellent, really excellent. I want to see it from Painter next year. I'm done with the coming back from Tommy John surgery. He's back.
Would it be 3 years next year since the surgery?
He's got to be in the rotation to start the year next year. He absolutely has to be. Yeah.
It'll be like Jalen with the new offensive coordinator, just like every other quarterback in the league.
Yes. Successful. Yeah, yes, for sure. I think.
Tired of hearing it.
Yeah,
tired
of hearing that he's coming back from Tommy John next year. Because if we let Ranger walk, if you're able to put Painter in that rotation, if you assume we're getting Zach Wheeler back at some point, toward the beginning of the season, your rotation being Wheeler, Sanchez, Lizardo, Painter, and Nola, that is excellent. I don't care what they do with the roster. That if we have a good Andrew Painter, that is that is an excellent pitching staff. You have two number ones. If Wheeler's able to come back, you have Lizardo, who's awesome this year.
Yep.
He was great in the playoffs.
Push Nola down to four.
Yeah, Nola. As a fourth starter, if he's back to at least normal, even just subnormal Aaron Nola next year, and then you have Painter in there, absolutely. But I need to see him, see the frigging guy on the Yankees dominating a playoff game the other night. I don't want to say his name because I'll slip. Yeah, Schlittler.
And you know what else about tonight? If Nola poops the bed, then it's going to. Why didn't we have another person that could run instead of 18 pitchers on the roster for the playoffs?
Yeah, that's not even a Nola question. I mean, that's a Taiwan Walker thing. Yeah, that is a Taiwan thing. You know,
need somebody to run the other night.
Yeah, 100% we could have. And Taiwan Walker, I don't care if this game goes five, is probably not pitching in this series. So, there was the only way that you could see Taiwan Walker pitching in this series is if the Phillies were winning 12-1. That is the only, unless there were injuries or something, and in that case, you're probably sunk anyway. Yeah, I agree with that, Gary.
Like from your lips to God's ears, Taiwan Walker doesn't pitch tonight.
Yes, yeah, fingers crossed. Or maybe we're up 15-1. I don't know.
There you go. I like it.
Yeah. All right, Gary. See you, man.
All right, brother.
Jack, let me ask you a very serious question, very important question. What is coming up in the top 5 at 5?
Better, so I need to, I'm a big fan of messing with the sports gods a little bit.
Okay.
So I have things that are better chances of happening than the Phillies winning this series.
Things that have a better chance of happening than the Phillies winning this series.
Yes.
You really outdid yourself today, didn't you?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Gotta do it.
Yep.
Gotta do it.
Do we both make an appearance on this?
You're high on
okay.
the list. Yeah,
not great.
Ike is not, but it's
I'm not on the list. I was the whole list yesterday.
Yeah. That is a good point.
Yeah,
and I wasn't on the list at all yesterday.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm on it.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That is a, you know, I'm actually just thinking about that now. If we all went to a baseball game together and Jack couldn't find one thing I did to make fun of, that is a real win for me. I must have had
That's
a good
true.
Night. That
For
is
sure.
a real win.
I even
win.
Tried to make fun of what you ate, but he was eating the same thing.
Yeah, yes, and he's not vegan. I have an excuse. He
well,
doesn't.
There's one thing that you did that I didn't feel like right. bringing up on the air that could have been easily number one.
What did I do?
Well, let's say.
I know what he's talking about.
What, did I do something?
Yeah, just,
he'll you, tell you off
there
the
was
air.
A moment of tightness.
I'm trying to think. During what? The show?
No, it was during the game.
It was during the game.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I want to hear off air. Yeah, before we say it on air. All right. Top 5 of 5 is coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.